take your Bibles and turn in them with me to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 11. It's found on page 732 in the Pew Bibles. We'll read all of chapter 11, all of chapter 12, but our focus will be on chapter 12. Incidentally, the first verse of chapter 11 brings up something that, Lord willing, Sunday morning, one of the songs we'll sing, refers to, about a shoot from Jesse. And so you see that maybe in that song you say, where's that in the Bible? Well, here's one place where it is. So just keep that in mind for Sunday morning, Lord willing. Isaiah 11, beginning at verse 1. Congregation, hear now the very words of God. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of counsel and might, Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together. And the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. In that day, the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant that remains of his people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea. He will raise a signal for the nations and will assemble the banished of Israel and gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The jealousy of Ephraim shall depart, and those who harass Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not be jealous of Judah, and Judah shall not harass Ephraim. But they shall swoop down on the shoulder of the Philistines in the west, and together they shall plunder the people of the east. They shall put out their hand against Edom and Moab, and the Ammonites shall obey them. And the Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt, and will wave his hand over the river with his scorching breath, and strike it into seven channels, and he will lead people across in sandals. And there will be a highway from Assyria for the remnant that remains of his people, as there was for Israel when they came up from the land of Egypt. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. For though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout, sing for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. As far the reading of God's holy word. Congregation, we've gathered together this morning to give thanks to the Lord. The times are still not quite normal, and perhaps you're a bit weary. Our congregation has seen quite a bit in this past month, and a number of our households have gone through much in the past months, even year. give thanks. How? Well, that's one of the blessings of the weekly Sabbath, the Lord's Day, as well as special days like this, that continue regardless of the ups and the downs of life. Sometimes, especially around an event of losing a loved one, when we're going through trials, we wonder, how can life keep going around us? But it is a blessing. It reminds us that, things are bigger than we are, that God has His plan for His people, for all His creation, regardless of the ups and the downs in our lives. And in this, we draw our eyes outside of ourselves to focus on God, especially on God's grace in His Son, Jesus, on the many blessings that God pours out upon us, the blessedness of eternal glory that He still has in store for us. As a minister well known to this congregation says, the best is yet to come. And so we've gathered together this morning to give thanks to our God. The harvest has come in. The Lord has provided abundantly safety in the fields, a bountiful harvest, prices, plentiful employment. And perhaps you don't work in the fields directly. Still, we're reminded of the many blessings of employment, aren't we? Returns on investments, perhaps. Family, friends, reminded of health, safety, life itself, even new life in this past year, just a few weeks ago. A family in our church, a baby was born. There are other babies that are on the way, for which we pray for. But above all these blessings, the one that shines forth the most is the blessing of God's love and the gift of God's love, His Son Jesus. All of the blessings God gives us, we are to draw our eyes particularly to that greatest of blessings. And as a result, as the Scriptures teach us, we are to give thanks to the Lord. And first we consider thanksgiving for His works. Thanksgiving for His works. And we give thanks to the Lord this morning and in every morning from hearts that have been changed by God, so that we are thankful for His blessings. The world in its unbelief doesn't give thanks. It doesn't know to whom to give thanks. Even in perhaps some prayers that are uttered around a table, if you're not thanking the Lord, you don't have someone really to give thanks to. But we come as those whose hearts have been changed by God, and so we're thankful for His blessings. True thanks, sincere thanks arise from grateful hearts. Children, your heart is quiet, isn't it? Well, maybe the doctor will listen with a stethoscope. Well, maybe you can hear your heart at times thumping. But our hearts are silent. But our mouths aren't. We speak words of thanksgiving. And yet our thanks is not to be just a repetition of thank you. Sometimes we say that, of course, thank you. It's good to say that. But if we just simply say that phrase and repeat that phrase, it's babbling. It's empty, isn't it? We speak words of thanks, calling to mind the reason why we give thanks. Not just a feeling we have, but something God has done. Our words of thanksgiving arising from grateful hearts, those words repeat the great and glorious works God has done. And fathers and husbands, as you lead your families in prayer, not only today, but every day, don't simply say the words thank you, but state specific reasons why you are thankful to God. Specific instances of what God has done in your life. Maybe even on that very day, did God give you safety in the fields in the morning? Thank God for safety in the fields that morning. Did God grant you safe travel that afternoon? Specifically, thank God for safe travel that afternoon. Have you got work today and completed safely? Give the Lord thanks for that specifically. Has God healed you? Or someone in your family of a sickness, an injury? Has God provided a measure of peace and patience in the midst of a trial, of a difficulty, of a temptation? Specifically, thank the Lord for that. It's a wonderful way to disciple your family in giving thanks. I think in our own lives, again, husbands, if your wife comes up to you and says, thank you, well, you'd probably say, well, you're welcome. But then you might say, well, what'd I do? Thank you for what? You know? It's no less than of the thankfulness we give to God. Make it specific. Obviously, God knows everything. But it helps to train us and to remind us. God has worked mightily, mercifully in my life, in your life, the lives of our family members. God has designed each blessing. We've seen in our series so far through the canons of Dort that God works all things according to the counsel of His will. So God has designed every blessing for a specific reason and given each and every blessing to you. Take time to thank God for individual blessings, for His works. And it is God's works on our behalf. Those are the foundation of our giving thanks. God's work for us and upon us that gives us the content of our thanks and our praise, as well as they motivate us to praise and thank God. What is God's work? Well, we've already pointed out a number of earthly blessings, haven't we? But the greatest of all is that of redemption. And that's what especially our passage brings out to us. Chapter 12, verse 1. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for, here's the reason, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. And that's the basis of the remaining five verses in this chapter of praise and thanksgiving. God was angry with us. Verse 1 says that, but His anger was turned away. Now the prophet is speaking on behalf of Israel. The previous chapter makes that clear, which we read. And although Isaiah doesn't here specifically say why God was angry, he just says He was angry, we know why God is angry. We know it from other parts of the Bible. We know it from our doctrine. We can read other parts of Isaiah itself. Children, why is God angry with anybody? Well, God doesn't just get in a mood, does He? It's sin, isn't it? It'd be Isaiah's sin, be Israel's sin, it'd be mankind's sin. God was angry with the church, with you and me, because of our sin, but somehow God's anger was removed, turned away. It's because God's anger was turned away, because God comforted the church, that we give thanks. And in this giving thanks, though, it's evident, again, that there is something behind God's anger being removed. And it's not just as though God gets over it, as though give God some time and He'll cool off. God is not moved with passions like we are. He was angry with a just cause over our sin. But God did something to turn away His own anger. And verse 2 tells us what it is. Behold, God is my salvation. Salvation. And chapter 13 that we read reveals to us the agent of this salvation, Christ. Go back to verse 1 of chapter 11. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And that's repeated in the New Testament of Jesus. In that day, Isaiah says on verse 10 and verse 11, on that day, the day that the Lord sends Christ and the Christ accomplishes our redemption, works our salvation, in that day, the church will lift up a song of praise unto God. Now why? Again, verse 2 of chapter 12, behold, God is my salvation. Christ has paid the price for our sin. He has taken upon Himself God's anger for us. The anger of God has turned away from us because He turned it to Jesus, especially as He hung on Golgotha's cross. And it's all those who entrust themselves to Jesus, who belong to this stump, the shoot from the stump of Jesse, all those are forgiven of their sins, granted eternal life. That's the ultimate reason for our giving thanks. Jesus suffered and died in our place. He shed His precious blood so ours would not be shed. He took upon Himself God's anger against us so God's anger would be turned away from us. He provided what we lacked, righteousness. And God is satisfied with what Jesus did. Satisfied so He's no longer angry with you, believer. No longer angry with me. even though we deserve it. Here is salvation. Here is the reason we give thanks. Now, God has poured out many blessings upon us. Upon us here, upon those watching via live streaming. Again, we think of food, and most likely today we'll have a lot of food. Family, gather with family. Life, wonderful blessings. And it's good, children, to go through, perhaps in the prayer today, perhaps in other days, in other ways, to go through those blessings just one by one by one. You'll never finish all of them. But salvation, there is a blessing that never fades, never fails. You can't lose to sickness. Not even death takes it away. In fact, it's in death that it remains all the stronger and sweeter. Righteousness and life in Christ. Congregation, can you personally say that? Can you say, God's anger has turned away from me? Have you entrusted yourself to Jesus? And say, Christ, you paid for my sin. Forgive me. Thank you. That call goes out to all. To cry out, Lord, save me. Forgive me. Change me. And He does. In Christ, God has become your Father. And we know God is no longer angry with us. We know it. We don't just wonder. We don't just wish. We don't just hope. We say, you were angry. Your anger turned away. There's no doubt there. But it's because of Christ. He comforts us. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And that gives us a proper perspective on all of life. Whether our lives are filled with joys or sorrows, with prosperity or with poverty, with health or with sickness, with an abundant harvest or even famine, by God's grace, we can rejoice in the Lord. And we will be joyful in God our salvation, our Savior. And so it is this Thanksgiving Day. As the Spirit of God has filled our hearts with gratitude to God for what He's done, we give thanks. We give thanks first and foremost for Jesus. But then we also give thanks for all the other blessings as well. Give thanks to the Lord, thanksgiving for His works. As God has filled our hearts with gratitude to Him for His wonderful works, we want to express that, don't we? And so we give thanks. And then also from God's Word, we're directed in how we are to give thanks. And that's what we come to in our second point, thanksgiving in different ways. So this chapter of God's Word, chapter 12 of Isaiah, notes several ways in which we give thanks to God. Perhaps the most obvious is we speak it, we say it. And much of this chapter is the prophet Isaiah giving words to the church to say, for us to say. Verses 1, you will say in that day. Verse 4, you will say in that day. We take those words upon ourselves. Give thanks to the Lord. While that's very obvious, we ought to call that to mind. A grateful heart expresses itself in words. True gratitude cannot be hidden away, remaining only as an emotion we enjoy, only as a stirring of the heart. It must be spoken. Even as Jesus taught that out of the heart evil actions proceed, so we can apply it to something good, something which the Spirit of God works within our hearts. Gratitude, and it comes out with words. So congregation, I ask you, do you speak words of thanks? Can others tell you're grateful by your words, by how you speak? Is your speech filled with thanks to God? Or have you and I, have we taken on the dialect of the world around us by ignoring God, or mainly mentioning God when we're angry? Complaint. The world around us is so ungrateful to its Creator. May our hearts, may our speech be so affected by God's goodness to us, His goodness especially in Christ, that even strangers can tell it by our speech. Now that doesn't mean we're only speaking words of gratitude to God. Speaking words, that's part of it. But in the whole tenor of your speech, your attitude of talking, does it shine through that you are thankful? We need to examine our speech. I do also. If our everyday speech does not reflect gratitude to God, then by God's grace, we need to change. To think about that throughout the day upon what God has done in Christ, to be aware and sensitive to the many earthly blessings God sends in this life. Now, one way to fight depression, a way to fight bitterness in our lives is to call to your mind and think about the many, many blessings God showers. Now, when you're in a funk, don't just wait to get out of it. Purposely train your mind. Train your heart. Direct them to the blessings God gives. And in your remembering, in your meditating on those blessings, speak thanks to God for them. The way God has established the world, the spoken word, it's a powerful tool. There's no magic in it. We're not saying that. Now, there's some name it and claim it false prophets that say certain things like that. No, there's no power in our words in that sense. Our tongue is to be used for good. Speaking thanks to the Lord is a wonderful use. Now the prophet Isaiah brings out another way we give thanks to the Lord. Verse 4, you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name. Now maybe you remember back quite a number of months ago, our series in Genesis, the first series in Genesis, about when the people of God would call upon the name of the Lord. Genesis 4:26. It's another way of saying that they worshiped God, much as we're doing this morning, much as we do every Sunday. Gathering together in corporate worship, you're coming here this morning from worship, for calling upon the name of the Lord. That is a form of giving thanks. We leave our labors, we leave our pursuits, we leave our leisure, we leave the TV behind. We gather together. Why? Focus on God, to hear Him, His works, and to respond in prayer and praise and singing and giving. It's a mark of gratitude that one leaves what they're doing to focus on the one who gives. Think of that, children, even if you're given a gift from someone and you open it and wow, sometimes your parents have to remind you or instruct you, okay, put it aside and say thank you. So it is with worship. God has given us great grace in Christ, so many other blessings, and our worship is centered on God's grace in Christ. We do that. We gather together and we say, thank you, Lord, for these blessings. We leave aside the many earthly gifts of time and work and leisure. We gather before God and we say, thank you, Lord. Now, not only does this happen during the worship service, but especially we think of Sundays, the day of rest, coming away from our work, coming away from our leisure, focusing on God the whole day, calling upon His name, resting in holy rest. It's, you know, it's a sign of ingratitude in our land, where the stores and the restaurants are open on Sunday, where people participate in sports and games on Sunday, rather than coming away and resting and spending the whole day calling on the name of the Lord. Let that ingratitude not be in you or in me or in our lives, congregation. But worship God out of grateful hearts for His wonderful works toward us. Can others tell that you're grateful with your words, with your coming together in worship? God's word makes clear worship is an outgrowth of gratitude. If we're not grateful, our worship or lack thereof or perversion thereof, it will show it. And so far then we have about this giving thanks to God, speaking and worshiping as different ways we give thanks to the Lord. Isaiah raises other ways. One of those he mentions is in verse 5 there. Sing praises to the Lord, for He has done gloriously. Shout, verse 6. Sing for joy. Singing is combining words and melody to express a message. The words provide the content of the message. The melody often provides the mood of the message. And not only the song itself then, but also how we go about singing reflects gratitude. Song is a powerful way to express gratitude. It's also a powerful way to express ingratitude, isn't it? Depending on the words, depending on the melody, depending on how they're sung. You know, songs aren't neutral. Songs are significant. A lot of time has gone into the songs selected years ago for this Psalter hymnal. They're significant. We sing to mark, we sing to express significant parts of our lives, of our experience. That's how God made us. And therefore, God desires us to express our gratitude in singing. So let me ask you, congregation, are the songs you sing, the songs of gratitude, focused on God's saving acts in Christ? Thanks for His works? Or are they focused just on our experiences and how we feel? Again, as our society moves more and more toward that self and self-absorption and ingratitude to God, it focuses more on those internal aspects. And even when we think of the sacraments, the focus there isn't on us, but on God's gospel promise. It's that way with preaching, it's that way with the Lord's Supper, with baptism. It's that way with the singing of our songs. We don't sing about how we feel grateful, but we sing grateful for what God has done. Again, look again, verses 5 and 6. Sing praises to the Lord for, not because I feel happy, sing praises to the Lord for He has done gloriously. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. The focus is on God, not us. So singing. So speaking, gathering together in worship, singing, and one more, verse 6, shout. Now that reflects the zeal in giving thanks, the zeal. Our expressions of gratitude are not to be half-hearted. And so again, we ask, can others tell that? Can they tell in your speech, in your singing, in all of life, does your singing reflect that zeal? Now, there are some times where we are overcome with emotion and we can't sing, or maybe our voice just isn't what it used to be. Okay, that's fine. But all things being equal, do you mutter? And teenage boys, especially want to talk to you here, maybe it doesn't seem cool in certain areas to sing zealously with a lot of gusto to the Lord. But this is something that is to mark us. It's not only feminine to sing. It's very masculine to sing with joy. The right type, of course. That's what we are to do. Shout and sing for joy. That zeal to be in there. You can tell a lot about someone's spiritual condition by how they sing. You can see that in yourself. And this passage in Isaiah guides us in that direction. Shouting aloud, singing for joy. And that's not surprising. Because if the Spirit of God changes our hearts, impressing upon us the glory of God as shown in His grace given us in Jesus, the only proper response is that zeal for Him. Now, while we don't express emotions as the broadly evangelical church does, we certainly do express emotions. It's not so much how we personally feel during the singing, but it comes out in how we sing. A connection comes out here. Even as the message drives the thanksgiving, drives the singing, the message being God's doing, not our own. So in our experiencing the emotions, the shouting, the zealous singing, not so much focusing on our own individual feeling, our own swaying, it's corporate. Give thanks to the Lord. Thanks given in different ways that we see even from this passage. Speaking, worshiping, singing, shouting. There's another point we see here in this passage, and that is that thanks are to be made known to the world. Our third point, thanks made known to the world. Now, twice in our passage, in verse 4 and verse 5, the church is commanded in this atmosphere of giving thanks to make known to the world what God has done. Give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples. Verse 5, sing praises to the Lord, He has done gloriously, let this be made known in all the earth. Our thanksgiving has an evangelistic aspect to it. By our corporate worship, where the gospel of Christ is proclaimed, the world hears of God's great deeds. By your family worship, the world, though they might not be there, there's an atmosphere where they see that. It's a testimony. In your bowing before, at the restaurant, a meal, the world sees that giving thanks. What God has done is so great. Not only must we give thanks, and give thanks in various ways, but the reason for it is displayed before the world. We don't hide it. We're not ashamed of it. We know that the gospel of Jesus, his death on the cross, his resurrection, that gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. God has rescued us from sin, Satan, death. He's delivered unto us the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. Even recently, with a number of our congregation passing into glory, dying. Yes, there's sorrow there, but there's that gratitude too that's mixed in that the world does not have, that hope. Through Christ's work of redemption accomplished on the cross, by the Spirit's continued work of applying that redemption, the kingdom of heaven is spreading across the earth. We thank God for that, and it shows up in our lives. All these are reason for giving thanks, and the world sees that. They must see it. They must hear. They encounter the report of God's glorious might and deeds. So we have a responsibility to make it known to the world about our gratitude. And so again, can your coworkers, can they tell you're a Christian by your giving thanks for what God has done? God has done great things. Now, brothers and sisters, again, think of when someone sees you grateful and joyful. Sometimes they'll ask, especially if it's in a time of distress, sorrow. In our society, in the economy, political strife, maybe social, again, maybe their family's going through something, yours is. It doesn't mean we're always just smiling. No, there is a time to mourn. We're not saying that. But even those hard times, that gratitude comes out. And they may ask you, why? What is going on? That's your opportunity to make known God's deeds among the people. God's given you an opportunity to testify to Him. Tell them about God's great wonders. Tell them about what those wonders mean, the significance that in Christ God is reconciling the world to Himself, not counting men's sins against them. Don't just give a vague answer, or don't tell them, well, there's so much to be thankful for. Focus on God's deeds. We do that as a church in the preaching of the gospel. But in every area of our lives, it ought to come to expression. Even by God's grace in the hospital bed. And I can testify, visiting with Al T. Winkle his last days, his faith was strong in the Lord. And the nurses, the doctors, they knew that from him. Giving thanks to the Lord. Let it be evident to all what God has done. Primarily, the work of salvation in Christ, and that founded that reconciliation, God's favor upon you in all things, the blessings He showers on us in all of life, on this day than in every day. Give thanks to the Lord, for He has done glorious things. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, You have done glorious things, wondrous works, rescuing us from sin, Satan, death, giving us the promise, the hope of resurrection, the new heavens, the new earth, being with us now in the midst of our trials. You are with us always. And thank You, Lord, for the harvest You have blessed us with. Thank You that we can gather here this morning. Thank You for ears to hear, mouths, tongues to speak, eyes to see, noses to smell, and the gift of touch too. Thank You for brains that think, for hearts that feel. Lord, thank You so much. So many blessings You shower on us. Thank You for the saints here. And we can weep with those who weep. We can rejoice with those who rejoice. Thank you, Lord. We pray that you would always work within us hearts of gratitude. And when we are pulled aside by temptation or just by the trials of life, that we would not go in downward spirals, but even in the midst of sorrow and hardship, to lift our eyes heavenward and to rejoice. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.